Right, this morning we'll look at something in Baptist history that happened this day. Richard Clearwaters was born on June 28, 1900 in Wilmot, Kansas. He was the fourth child of Guy and Hannah Clearwaters. They moved to Oklahoma about a year when he was a young boy. His parents were saved, godly Christian people. They knew Christ. They served him faithfully. As I said, family devotions were held regularly in the home. When he was 5 years old, Dr. Clearwaters, as many of us know him, said that he had been under conviction as a five-year-old when he heard some preaching, but he rejected that and would not be saved for many years. But he did recall that as a young boy. In 1907, they moved to Spokane, Washington, and Clearwaters always insisted that he was the poorest student of his mother's eight children. He detested school. He barely passed grade school. He would never graduate from high school, actually. When he was 15, he rebelled. He ran away to Canada and lived a life of a prodigal son. He said later, "I really wanted to live for the world, the flesh, and the devil, and I sought every avenue to do that." He worked in the mills. He worked in the mines. Digging ditches, all kinds of labor. Sometime into that, he injured his hand very badly in the rollers of a paper mill. And in the Lord's providence, a nurse who cared for him knew his mother, and she wrote her and told her that she had cared for Richard. Mrs. Clearwaters wrote her son back, urging him to come home. They, of course, have been praying for him for many years. And she concluded with these words, "The way of the transgressor is hard." It was those words that really worked on his heart. And he went home, what was to be just a short trip home, to see his family. But then while he was there, several things happened, the worst of which was he was on the farm working and driving a tractor when the wagon that he was pulling, one of the wheels fell off and mortally wounded his brother. His brother would eventually die. And it was that accident was one of the things that really worked on, the Lord used to really work on his heart and bring him to deep conviction. There was, in 1921, a Holiness Methodist pastor visited the area, and he was conducting a two-week revival, and the family went to that revival. They were Methodists. And no one was saved during that time, but the folks decided to extend the meeting another week. And during that week, on December 10th, 1921, Richard Clearwaters responded to the invitation. He was gloriously saved there in that meeting. He was delivered at that moment from his old habits, his vocabulary, the terrible things that the devil had gotten him into. This transforming power of God would take Richard Clearwaters from digging ditches in Canada to the halls of many institutions of higher learning. It's interesting, again, that he had no high school education, but he would earn many, many graduate degrees. I have a list of them. I don't know. Just it goes on. He earned three or four degrees from Moody, three degrees from Northern Baptist Seminary, a degree at Kalamazoo College, a master's degree at the University of Chicago, and he was 6 weeks away from completing his PhD at University of Chicago when he ran out of money and would never finish that degree. I guess that was before student loans, but. He was a very, it's interesting that he used the term, he was the dullest of his mother's eight children, and yet he would have all these degrees, a man known later for his intellect and his great learning. But, he was a self-declared biblicist. One of the things that hardened his beliefs, as a Baptist and his belief in the Bible was that time, that he spent at the liberal University of Chicago and taking those Bible courses at University of Chicago. And he said that he defined a biblicist as, "A biblicist is one who accepts the Bible as Jesus defined it. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And he continued by saying, "To become biblicists, we have to take the position of separation and find there is nothing, nobody, no individual can separate us from the Word of God. Nothing can come between us and the Lord, and nothing between us and our fellow man." And he believed that every word is important. A biblicist will appeal to the words and all the words of the Scripture. And this is the conviction that molded this man. Now, because of his learning and his wonderful personality, he was thrown into many areas of leadership. And one of the things that he began to lead was the Minnesota Baptist Association in Minneapolis, Minnesota. In that organization began to go liberal, and it fought against exactly what he believed in, the inclusive policies of allowing liberals and separatists and fundamentalists to be in the same organization to preach and teach there. And he, after a great fight, led the Minnesota Baptist Association out of the Northern Baptist Convention, which is now the American Baptist Convention, and that was in 1948. The issue was very clear that they were allowing liberals to teach and preach in their churches, and this was diametrically opposed to the biblical principles of separation that he believed in. It was a long and painful fight. He led the Minnesota Baptist Association. Eventually, he would leave that organization and start the Conservative Baptist Association. When that association was 20 years old, it also began to bring this liberal teaching into his organization, and he withdrew from the Conservative Baptist Convention in 1963. He was a lightning rod for attacks, as you can imagine, for his strong stands. And he was not only a strong leader, as many remember him, but he was also the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota for 42 years. And that great church had a wonderful ministry of very large church, maybe like ours, with many ministries. They had a Bible college that he began in 1958. They had, of course, a Christian day school. They had a radio station. They had a camp and a lodge, actually, that they used for many years. And then he began Central Baptist Theological Seminary in 1956. And then the name that many of us will know, and maybe know him from this name, but he began Pillsbury Baptist Bible College in 1957, and under his leadership, that was begun. And those two institutions were used of God to mold the lives of hundreds of men and women throughout the years since the 1950s, and those men and women are scattered all over the world now, preaching the gospel and proclaiming the word of the Lord. And this great man, his life is a testimony to God's rich mercy. Remember, he was a prodigal, a terrible man as a young man, and a saving grace to those who will surrender to him. His convictions were grounded upon the Word of God. They were formed in a Bible Institute, Moody Bible Institute back in that day, and they were hardened in those liberal schools, as I mentioned. And they enabled him to serve God for many, many years. And this morning I want to thank the Lord for this man's life, Dr. Richard Clearwater, and his ministry through the years.